I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Kingsfoil is a four-piece rock band that formed out of an acoustic duo featuring songwriters Jordan Davis and Tristan Martin. By 2007, the lineup was firm with the addition of drummer Joe Cipollini and bassist Tim Warren. Since then, Kingsfoil has become one of the most popular bands in the Central Pennsylvania region. Their latest album, On Our Own Together, which was released in the summer of 2010, has taken their sound to a new level under the direction of Nashville producer Dustin Burnett. In late December 2010, Jordan and Tristan stopped by the Woodstove House to chat about the band and the making of On Our Own Together. Joining me in the Woodstove House is Jordan and Tristan from Kingsfoil. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to get to talk to you guys. We've been listening to this new record, On Our Own Together, for a while here at the Woodstove House, and released in the summer of 2010, and it's a fantastic record. Let's before we get into the album itself, let's talk a little bit about the band and the history of the band. I know you guys were an acoustic duo at first, and this is going back almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. So just talk a little bit about how things were then, and then the transition into a full band. How you decided, or why you decided to expand Kingsfoil?
We wanted to make more noise, I think. We started out as a duo and kind of just worked a lot on songwriting, kind of like we're teaching ourselves songwriting at that point, I guess, in a way, kind of learning from each other and kind of like just figuring that whole thing out. And that's sort of how I think about those days. Like, that was kind of our time for us to grow and figure out how to write songs. And then in about 4 years ago is when we had a bunch of lineup changes.
So you did that for a while.
Yeah, we did it for a while. We released a couple smaller CDs, and we even did a tour, the two of us, an acoustic tour to LA and back, which was a blast. And then there was a certain point where it was like we kind of just wanted to play bigger venues. We wanted to kind of shoot for a bigger sound. That was what we craved, and so that was kind of the thought behind adding the rhythm section.
Who came on first?
We had Joe, our drummer Joe Cipollini, and our bass player at the time. They both joined. They were in another band together, and they joined, and then that bass player left, I would say like a year or so after that, maybe. And then our latest bass player, Tim, joined, like you said, about 4 years ago.
Okay.
That kind of solidified like what we really felt like the band was about, really what it was.
Yeah, talk about how the songwriting changed. When did you continue writing as a duo, or did you start writing as a full unit?
Both. We'd sort of sit down together, or sometimes Jordan by himself, and come up with the core of the song, and then we would bring it to the band and just arrange it as a group, so everyone would have their input mm-hmm. and perspective on sort of the sound we're going for, which I think helped us a lot as a full band developing like what I think our sound is.
So you guys split the songwriting between you, or does someone bring usually the ideas first?
Most of it's Jordan. Yeah, maybe two-thirds of the songs you write by yourself, and then...
Yeah, and then I mean, there's a couple songs on the new record that were mainly Tristan, but I do often come up with the bulk of it. But it's really a pretty nice like kind of team what we've got going. It's nice.
Yeah, he's definitely more of a lyrics person than I am.
I watch the stars shower in the dark. Fall suit of do we come inside? Push the head. The water on our skin.
talk about the making of this album. Where was it recorded?
We recorded it Beach Creek Studios in Nashville, and Smoking Gun Recording. We did two different studios. We were there for about three and a half weeks. Did, wow. All the bass and drums at the first studio for like 4 or 5 days, and then just took the rest of the time to track everything else, overdubs, and just layer. I mean, we were writing up until like the end of recording, working on stuff and rewriting, just trying to work out all the details.
Well, what was the connection in that in Nashville? Who was the producer, and how did you get connected with him?
Dustin Burnett was our producer, and we actually met up with him, I think, 2 years ago. We played Dewey Beach Music Conference, mm-hmm. and he was just on one of the panels, a producer panel, just talking about the industry and his role, and he saw us there and really liked us, and just offered to bring us to Nashville and do a couple songs in his studio, sort of just see how we'd work together. And
yeah, it's a great opportunity.
It was really cool. He did it for free, so it was real nice. We went down there for, you know, 4 or 5 days and yeah. did Love Is a Carnival, Goldfish, and Demons, and then decided like we really wanted to do a record with him.
Yeah.
So from that point, it took us over a year to sort of get everything ready until we had the material and just the money and everything together to be able to actually pull it off.
So did you do a lot of demoing here in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we did. We did do a lot of demoing, and then we'd just email him the songs, and he'd shoot feedback. And then like a month or two before we actually went down, he came up for a week or so, and we worked a lot of things out in sort of pre-production before we actually went into the studio.
Did you find that? Did you find the songs changed dramatically, or was it just subtle nuances?
I think we really some of it. There wasn't really many drastic things, I'd say, to be honest. He really taught us, even from that first couple songs we did. We learned a lot from him about just really writing a song and not like overdoing it, like figuring out the most concise and direct and simple way of putting it without, you know, making it overly long or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like he was really good at that. And I think that was something that we needed as a band. So once we started to get the hang of that and write those songs for the new record, we had that in our minds. So the songs were coming out, you know, I wouldn't say like there was nothing, we didn't change them at all, but they were coming out at a good spot to then take it.
Because you had some intention behind it when you were writing.
I've been watching the water, waiting for the sharks to come, like a bath of the devil. I lay in the shallows like chum. I'm sick, 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 sick to my stomach. I'm a heart attack lover.
So this album, as I'm listening to it, a couple things sort of emerge for me. One is it seems very, very personal. There's a lot of references to family. There's a lot of references to different family members. Can you talk about that theme and so how it ended up sort of being the basis of the many of the songs on this album?
Yeah, definitely. I find a hard time, like, just writing not about something that I know or about something that I'm going through. I can do that, but for me, it needs to come from somewhere that something that's really happening to me or something that I've experienced. And that, like you said, there's a couple, like, Love Is a Carnival, Goldfish is obviously about it's about my family, about my parents getting divorced, and that's basically what, like you said, basically what the whole song is about.
There's a reference to your grandfather in a boat.
Yeah, that's another one. my grandfather actually said that line. He actually said it to my aunt, and I was and it just caught me off guard that he said he wanted to die on a boat, and I've always had this kind of, you know, connection to the ocean and I always liked the ocean and everything about the beach and all that, and it just really struck me as something that it was really neat. I'd never been real close to my grandfather, so it was kind of like when I heard that, it was just really caught me off guard. And because I had always wanted to live on a boat, like that was my idea of actually, I wanted to literally live on a boat. I thought that would be something I'd want to do at some point in my life. So it was just interesting. It caught me off guard and just felt like a song right away. And that song too is kind of about like families working stuff out after a split up or after something big in a family has mm-hmm. happened. And just kind of different looks at that, at like the interaction of your friends have, the interaction of your other family members, just the different kind of stories that kind of go along with that. And that's sort of what Lion's Den was about.
My grandfather once threw down a boat. I want to live on a boat. Hang my clothes in the salty air, learn to pull the moon in my lover's cares. And once, don't want no girl who wants to make my bed. I want one who wants to mess it up instead. Jump the white picket fence, find a bimini wall to lean up against and black out. I've been messed up in the lion's den, passed out on the floor looking for the souls of my friends. My folks say you want to live inside the same house, but not with the other. They want it all to themselves. I'll keep quiet with my neutral tongue before the first time I wished Christmas wouldn't come. My friends, they all try to mean something. I know it ain't much, but they ought to mean the world. Selfish tongue like an antelope on a survival run from time.
One of the other themes that I hear a lot, in fact, it was the metaphors that you were using around love.
Mm-hmm.
There were several times on the album. You mentioned a carnival goldfish. Mm-hmm. Love is a carnival goldfish. There's also a reference to love being a slot machine,
mm-hmm.
and a lighthouse on the last track.
Mm-hmm.
Can you dig a little bit into some of those colorful metaphors? Is that something that, where does that come from, I guess, is the question.
I've always been like, I mean, there's so many love songs and there's so many, I mean, it's been said so many times that at this point it's just finding a way to say it that really rings true to the listener in a way that they've never thought about it.
Yeah.
Basically. Is what I try to do. And I mean, with the carnival goldfish, it's obvious, like it's something that you, it's like this prize, this love is like this prize that you want and you keep and you like, but it's, everybody knows it's not going to last.
Yeah.
And that's sort of it's more one of the more depressing ones, but it's going to die. It's not going to last long. So figure that out, how you're going to handle that.
Starting not to feel like home. I see it start to come clear. My dad's been sleeping in the guest room. I guess he's just a guest here. And oh my God, I never thought that this would happen to us. I'm sorry, Mom. When you risk it all for love, love, only to watch it fall. Dust, dust,
phone. So when I called you, it just felt strange. No lights on in the living room. When I'm coming home these days, his face looked lined as he squarely said, I'm leaving her, but not you. And I hope you understand when you risk it all.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Joining me today are Jordan Davis and Tristan Martin from Kingsfoil. Their latest album, On Our Own Together, was released in the summer of 2010.
The song Give It Up Now is getting some play on XPN.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be considered the single off the album.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that song.
That. Yeah. Yeah, that was that song was like a real natural, kind of naturally born song. Tristan and I, we would go away. We go away out to the beach every summer, like with the band and a bunch of our friends, and we would just hang out for a week. And we would go out in the street. It's this place, Stone Harbor, New Jersey. We would go out in the street and we would just play, just for the heck of it. We would just play for the people walking around. And this was like that song we had just been sort of jamming on, the two of us, just kind of jamming on the chords and stuff. And we had the chorus at that point. That was it. And so we were just that whole time we were kind of like playing that, and we were walking home, and I all of a sudden I had all these lyrics started coming to me, and we had stopped at a gas station. We were in a gas station just getting food or getting something before we went back to the house, and I remember like I was actually finding something to write these lyrics down in the gas station. Nice. I had my guitar still on, and I wrote the whole verse, I think, in this gas station. And it just came out perfectly. And then the whole way home, we were playing it, running along the street playing it. So it's really kind of a cool way that song kind of came to life. And that song is pretty specific. Some of the stuff's real specific about personal struggles that I was going through at a certain time. But the main thing of that song is just about, like, ultimately, like, a lot of times it's just you're getting in your way of yourself. You know, give up. Give it up now. It's like give up your own ego, give up your own whatever you're putting in the way of yourself to not be happy or to not succeed in what you want to do.
Love sick songs, get your heart rate up, and I've been blindsided, but never been stuck, so I got restlessness running through each one of my veins. I hear the screen all slamming, the air getting heavy, I'm as jumpy as a dog that was tied to the levees. But in the end, it's my heart that gives out when I'm ready to go. So give it up now. It's not worth it to push and push and push till it comes down. You're so down to hurt more than myself with the carelessness I've thrown around. Shirt thrown off, watching the bamboo grow, and I felt more lost than I wanted anybody to know. I came to in the cold, in the dark, looking for you with my eyes so wide. Should've saw it coming, but I woke in the morning without learning that the warning was real. So give it up now. It's not worth it to push and push and push till it comes down. Myself, but the carelessness I've thrown around, I don't wanna end up treading water. Maybe it's okay to touch the bottom.
Let's talk a little bit about the title track, On Our Own Together. It's a great line. It's just a great phrase, On Our Own Together. What's the meaning behind that?
It has like a couple different meanings for me. I always, the sort of personal band meeting, I think, was we all kind of come from a different upbringing, different, not a completely different set of beliefs, but we're all sort of coming at life in a different angle, but we've really found a way to like understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, like on our own together, like we're really, that's what we encompass as a band. Also, like, it's just the idea of you're figuring out in your 20s, you're figuring out that feeling of like you're the only one that feels this way. No one else knows what you're feeling. Yeah. And maybe, but you don't know what someone else is, how they feel. That same, they might have that same feeling, but you don't understand their take on it or whatever. And my idea behind that was like, that's what we need to realize, you know. We're all on our own, but we're on our own together, so we have something in common.
Sure.
Satellite surface connecting us in real time. It makes me nervous, an ache that cannot be defined. Like when you don't feel right, right, and right, and right in your own skin. Got everybody rooting for you, but you can't when you try to talk it out with your numb tongue. You can't, it's called human. Let's get to being so. We're on our own. No, we're now, we're not alone. It's in our bones. We're on our own together.
The album ends with a couple songs. And the second to the last song is Keeps Me Breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And this song really stood out for me because there's this sort of prog rock feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really curious as to where that came from. I mean, the song's kind of moving along, first couple of minutes, you know, sort of, it's sort of predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, I heard all kinds of Peter Gabriel and Queen and this old prog rock stuff. I don't know if that was intentional or not.
No, but I like both those references, though. That's cool.
Who wrote that song, and how did that sort of middle twist come about?
Well, you had the song, and I feel like that's one that we rewrote several times. Mm-hmm. And we almost didn't put it on the record, but Dustin was the one that really pushed for it.
It's really a different song from the rest of the record.
Yeah, he thought that it'd be fun to sort of kick around if we had time at the end of recording to just sort of see what would happen. So we ended up working with him during pre-production on that song for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like just kicked around just some different weird ideas. And
I think, not to say it was directly from Love Drug, but a band called Love Drug I've always been really heavily influenced by. And it might also been just a way to be like, hey, you know, we're not just a band that does chorus or verse, chorus, verse, bridge, you know.
Right.
We're not looking to be like a cookie cutter band. And it wasn't like, hey, that's why the song was like that, but that's just kind of how it kind of came out, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about a few CDs that you really couldn't live without. Just a few CDs that have inspired your writing, your playing. We'll start with Jordan.
Okay. Wow. I'm really all over the place. I would say lyrically, I'm a huge Bright Eyes fan or Connor Oberst fan. I think he's like just spot on when it comes to that. So probably Casadega or I'm Wide Awake, It's Morning. I mean, any of those records I think lyrically are amazing. I've also been really into Leonard Cohen. New Skin for an Old Ceremony, I think, is the I just found it at the Goodwill on vinyl for like $3. That was great. That's a perfect find. And then as far as that's like really like lyrics to me are the main thing that speaks to me. But other records would be like a lot of the new stuff that Love Drug has come out has been I've been really inspired by. Kesha. I don't know.
Tristan, what about you?
Of course we does.
I walked into Tristan's house the other day. Tristan doesn't listen to pop music or rarely does, but I walked into his house and I guess I was there a little bit early because like Kesha is playing. It's him by himself at his house.
I just felt like it. Tim got me hooked. We're going on van rides and
Kesha's playing really loud. He's like, hey. He's like, well, kind of awkwardly, hey, no, come on in.
I knew you were going to be there eventually. I wasn't too worried about it. But Tim, our bass player Tim, has all this stuff on his iPod. So always when we're driving back and it's real late, he'll play Adam Lambert or Katy Perry,
Miley Cyrus.
We blew out a speaker listening to Adam Lambert, I think, in our van.
It's pretty. We're not afraid to admit to that.
No, it's all right.
Whatever works for you, man.
That's right.
So what besides those?
Yeah, realistically, my first big love was Beach Boys.
Is that right?
That was my first record. I can't remember which one, but maybe like the Best Of. But I just love their stuff. Grew up with that. The Beatles. My parents played that stuff all the time I was growing up. Switchfoot's last album, I really like. I think all the songs are really strong. I think that whole album as a whole is just amazing. I really like Ben Folds 5. Third Eye Blind's a big one for me. Like, the drumming and the guitar playing on all the records is just really unique and interesting.
Well, thanks very much for taking the time to come in and talk to me about this record.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
I really appreciate it.
I wish you guys all the best with this album. I just think it's a fantastic record, and I hope it just leads to many good things to come.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
On Our Own Together is the latest album from Pennsylvania's Kingsfoil. To learn more about the band, check tour dates, and find out how to get the album, visit Kingsfoil online at kingsfoil.com or link up at woodstovehouse.com where you can leave comments, listen to past episodes, or send email with your thoughts about the show. Around the Woodstove is a production of the Woodstove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
It's just one of those summer nights where we're running around, dancing around, jumping up and down.